Morning, I would like to turn to the Gospel of Matthew. The seventh chapter. Matthew chapter 7. I'll go ahead and read my text. Two verses out of this seventh chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. 13th verse says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." So that's the thought that I have on my mind this morning, have for a few days. The song I selected this morning, that 185, is really based on these two verses. Broad is the road that leads to death. Pretty, negative, depressing subject, that part of it, but not all of it is. Certainly there's much good news in this, and teaching. This, of course, to give you some of the layout here, this is right, not so much in the middle, but it's in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, what's called the Sermon on the Mount, where it starts in the third verse of the fifth chapter, and ends in about the 27th verse of this seventh chapter. So mostly three chapters here. These are the words of Jesus. He's speaking, and so we see who he's speaking to. We go back to the first couple of verses of the fifth chapter at the beginning of this sermon. It says, "And seeing the multitudes." So right off the bat, we see this great number of people here. Seeing the multitudes, he went up in the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. So his disciples are there as well. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, of course, we have the Beatitudes, and it goes on. We come down to this thought here. Now, up to this 13th verse, 7th chapter, 13th verse, Jesus is not talking about eternal things, right? Eternal life. Amen. He's talking about here and now. I mean, to all this great multitude of people. So we need to hang on to that. I'm thankful to know that the 13th and 14th verses, this straight gate and the broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, this is not talking about choosing your way to heaven. That's not the case. This one speaking here is the one that has purchased us and has gotten us into heaven. And we long to be there. And we'll go to some other books here in a minute in God's Word in the New Testament and back that up. So this is talking about here and now. And of course, that word straight there doesn't have a G-H in there. Doesn't mean not crooked. That means narrow. It means narrow. In fact, it's not just narrow, but it is a gate that is difficult to be entered. It's pressing. So it presses you, but it's difficult to enter. And we think of this broad way, broad road, and broad gate that is entered. And as Jesus is speaking here, we have to think of that audience, that the Jews certainly knew and were aware, and so were the Gentiles, of the literal physical gates in Jerusalem, the gates that you'd enter. They were both broad ones and there were narrow ones. Now, there is not based on scripture and even archaeological history, but the eye of the needle, and I believe it's Matthew 19, that chapter. Now, it's easier for a camel to enter through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. They say that in the city there was a type of gate or door, a gate that was aside from the large gate, the broad gate, the broad path that they would enter in. It was called the Eye of the Needle. But that's not based on scripture. It's not even based on history. But there were small, narrow gates. And so they knew what Jesus was speaking of here in the concepts, of course, in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. So the Jews certainly knew of this concept of this to enter the narrow gate. Follow that narrow path, the straight path. 30th chapter, Deuteronomy, the 15th verse, says, "See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments." That's what Jesus Christ is saying there. Now, in my life, the times, I don't want to go back and review my life and figure out, nail down, how much have I gone in that broad way, in that broad gate there. But I have. That broad gate is easy to enter. And there's many that enter into that. That's what that song on 185 in our book says. Many that enter there. Few that enter into the narrow gate. Now, I believe that also, I'll go ahead and put this in here, is that I believe that also proves that that's not talking about you better enter into that narrow gate if you're going to enter into heaven, because few be that enter there. No, many, with the preeminence of Jesus Christ, there will be an innumerable host in heaven. There's not just a few there in this life. It's talking about in this life. Now, I'm thankful, again, as I always am, for the grace and the mercy of God when I go with that huge, massive crowd into that broad gate and I'm not going where I should and walking where I should in the path that I should, that he has mercy on us and he will not leave us nor forsake us. But it certainly is something that we need to think about, his commandments he says, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Now, one more verse in the Old Testament, and then I'll go back to Matthew, the 22nd chapter of Numbers. Numbers 22, verse 26, "The angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left." So we have a narrow place here. Now the Hebrew word here, narrow, which is, it's T-S-A-R, there. But that obviously it means narrow, because that's the English word in this Hebrew translation. But it means a tight spot or trouble or distress. It's narrow. This describes that straight gate. It's not an easy path. It's not an easy way to go. And in fact, That straight gate, that narrow way there, it refines us, the child of God. Now, Jesus would have been wasting his time back in Matthew chapter 7, speaking to the unregenerate, those that the child of God that's not yet born again, or though one of those that were not chosen by God to live with him in heaven, to be adopted and so forth, predestinated. And so it would not do them any good here, because this would be a foolishness. It doesn't matter if this is the greatest preacher that ever walked this planet, but they would not hear that. It's foolishness. They would call Jesus a fraud, a fake, which they did. People did that. Even, I would go on to say, those that that their soul in heaven, their soul and spirit right now is in heaven there, that either would not admit that Jesus was the Son of God and was the Christ, that they were going through that broad gate. So he says here, enter ye in at the straight gate. So it's narrow. And it is restricting there, so we if you're taking an animal burdened down with baggage, if I'm going into that straight gate with the baggage that I carry in my life that I choose not to cast aside, then I'm going to have some trouble. It's going to be a tight spot getting into that straight gate, that narrow gate. Let's look at the broad gate, the wide gate. It would be easy to just walk right on in there. That's why I can name so many of the times that I've just barreled right into there with everyone else, with the many that goes into that. Do I think that I'm any less a child of God because of that? No. Jesus Christ washed my sins away. Do I still commit sin? Yes, I do. And I will until this body is changed and goes to the dust, and then is called again by Jesus Christ. I'll continue to do that. But it's easy for me to go back to my selfishness, I would much rather have this life, because the straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I want to find that. I've seen that I've gone into that way of destruction, that's on me. Even when God guides us, Jesus Christ guides us in the right way, I still go that way. I'm here to confess those things, certainly Jesus Christ, that great Savior, Redeemer, Intercessor, that's sitting on the great throne of judgment even now, that He realizes that. Yet He loved us enough to die and sacrifice Himself for us. As we move on here a bit, in that verse that I just read, the 14th verse, few there be that find it. So, it's easy to see. Well, number one, you can follow the broad path, because here's all these people that I'll get in line right here and go on in. I don't have to lay aside anything. When I'm restricted and entering into that, walking that narrow way and entering into that straight gate, the narrow gate that is restricting and confining, then I must lay aside things of this life. And in that we are blessed, and yet there's some things I still hold on to. I like to have a safety net of certain things, even in this life. Jesus Christ would have us to lay aside all of that, whether it be my thoughts, my actions, my way of life. Few there be that find it. That word find is not just simply, I ran across this. I just found this. I found this nickel on the ground. Didn't take any effort at all. No, that word find means to discover with effort. It takes something there to do that. But it goes against human nature. that I'm to work and to strive. In fact, over in Luke, it says strive to enter the straight gate. There's some work involved in that. Certainly work for me to lay aside the things that I am burdened with, that I burden myself with. It's so often myself and the sin that easily besets me. So this find here is to search and to seek and to discover something after striving and searching, and there's an effort involved. We have to mortify ourselves. We have to set ourselves aside in this. So again, this is for, I'm so thankful that I don't have to think to myself, if I don't enter into that straight gate, that narrow place where this life is given me, and even more abundantly by Jesus Christ, that I'll not be in heaven. I don't have to, all I must think about is that the contrast between that straight gate and the broad gate, the broad way there, and that this straight gate leadeth unto life. We know that few enter there, as it says. As Jesus goes on here, the next subject here, and in my Bible it starts a new paragraph in that 15th verse, but he immediately it's as if he changes direction completely, but he really doesn't. He says in the 15th verse, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." So he immediately goes to the gatekeeper of that broad gate, these false prophets that would tell you other things. I can think of some today even that are quote-unquote preaching what they would call the gospel, telling us that it is God's will that we all become financially rich and that we deserve certain things. They're guiding people right into the broad gate there. But that's not what Jesus Christ says. And there's great blessings in this. When I have been blessed to lay aside, to unburden myself with something that I've heaped onto myself, I can feel the relief in that, the lighter load, and that's what walking in that straight gate brings us. Now I'm going to go to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter of Romans. Get just a few verses here. Now again, here the translators in this 8th chapter in the 12th verse begins a new paragraph, but I want to get the 11th verse and make a point here. Paul says, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." Yes. It's obvious who he's speaking to here. Those that are born again, children of God, and that God will raise up, who's raised up Christ, He will raise us from the dead as well, quicken our mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in us. He's talking about people where the Spirit of God dwells within them. It's Jesus Christ dwelling within us through the Holy Ghost. So knowing that, He's not trying to get anyone to choose God that they might be in heaven. We won't find that anywhere. 12th verse. "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." They are the sons of God. We're already sons of God, children of God. We are that. certainly we die. Sin is the cause of death. Our sin from our father Adam. And so, yes, we'll die. But there is a life. It says, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. We will have a life. Just knowing that. It's almost a challenge to our human nature that, well, let's just see if I lay aside these things that I'll have this life and life more abundantly here. But I tell you what, it's not just on our own. It's through the Spirit. The Spirit of Almighty God must bless us to do these things. If we're going to squeeze through that confining and that distressful door, that straight gate then we're going to need to be blessed by the Spirit of Almighty God. So I'm going to go to, I think it's the 10th chapter of John. John chapter 10. Again, this is Jesus speaking here. Seventh verse says, then Jesus said, Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Again, speaking of this life, we don't go in and out of heaven. He's not talking about that entering into choosing this door, Jesus Christ, that we might go into heaven. We will do that. So if by me any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Going on down, let me get the 10th verse. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill. And to destroy. I am come, Jesus says, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. How much more abundant life do we have simply knowing what Jesus Christ has done for us? That when I, with all this great mass of people, enter through that broad gate, follow that broad path, that I still know. Sitting here this morning, I thought in some of the words of the songs of the poets, of the songs that we sing, and the thought every now and then just pops into my mind, well, what if I'm not? It might have been the song that Brother Tim chose, it had, Sister Pam had on her mind, that I'm not one of his, but I have too much evidence within me, justification by faith. We are justified. We know it's something that we are aware of within us, that we don't need any external proof of that salvation and things that has happened that have happened to us, personal things. Yes, Jesus Christ is my personal Savior because when He died on the cross, He was nailed there. He knew my name. I believe that He knew when my sins were placed upon Him. I think about those two stones on the shoulder pieces of the high priest, and then the 12 stones on the breastplate. Those names engraven there in those stones, and then attached in those crevices of gold. Jesus Christ knew us there, and since He is never changing, He's the same. same yesterday, today, and forever, then even when I don't do these things that I preach, and yes, I can put on my cap of hypocrisy because I don't do these things, and you're aware of that. We all have our nature, but Jesus Christ, we look to Him and His love and His mercy for us, interceding for us. Let me go to, and I'm going to try to wrap this up. I want to go to John, the 14th chapter. John chapter 14. See, the sixth verse, John chapter 14. Thomas asks in the fifth verse, he says, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We're wondering, how do I enter into that straight gate? How do I walk on that narrow way in my life here? As I strive, as Luke says, strive to enter into that straight gate. How do I do that? We simply, let's take a step back. We follow Jesus. We follow Him. Certainly, as Moses wrote over in Deuteronomy, Numbers that we choose life. We choose the abundant life in Christ. I want to see what that is. I have seen it. I have felt it, the abundant life. I tell you what, when I have lost someone in this life, I run for that straight gate then because I want to feel that abundant life, to have the blessings of one who knows my sorrows. Jesus Christ, He suffered there in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was suffering. He was exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. He knows how we feel, and He's the one that can comfort us. He can guide us. He blesses us in that. And when we are not following Him, He'll come and get us here. He'll pick us up and bring us back. And all of those, we often say that we know, we realize that all the total number of the chosen people of God that will enter into heaven and immortal glory, they are not only in the Primitive Baptist Church. Very few enter there. We know that. We can see that. But we hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we're to strive. I'm thankful that Luke wrote that over there in his gospel, that we strive to enter into that straight gate. And it's a constant thing. We're taught by God's word to pick up our cross and follow Him. We're not taught to pick up the cross of Christ and do that. We're to pick up our cross. That's a constant daily thing. And He gives us life and life more abundantly and lifts us up and gives us the encouragement we need. Certainly we need that as we have this great number of people that we utter prayers to God for His care of them, yet knowing what's ahead of us. But He lifts us up in our lives. He gives us life more abundantly. I want that. I need that. We need to do that also to support those around us, our families, our loved ones. Brother Roger mentioned our mothers in his prayer and all, that we love them and we respect them and honor them this day for what all they've done. To do this, we must follow Jesus Christ in our lives, knowing that He is the one that sacrificed Himself for us. May God bless and keep you, is my prayer. Amen. Close the service. We'll close the service now. And open the doors of the church for membership. If anyone has a desire to join you, let us know, and we'll wait upon you. Shake one another's hands if you so desire.
Let's stand and sing number 306. Thank you. 3:06.